son.
One app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating. Get it?
Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd. It's primal.
And that's raw. Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits,
are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One app is life.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And?
Fourth meal.
That's right.
Fourth meal is buffalo wings.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Well said.
Yeah.
Conway the Machine is on One App.
Already.
Buffalo's finest is in the building. Yo, thank you for doing this, man.
Yeah, I feel honored,
man. Nah, thank y'all for having me, man. You know?
Bro, you're a big deal. I've watched this whole thing. I've watched this whole movie.
Yeah.
The place you're in now. It's like we were talking earlier today, and it dawned on me.
Sorry, you just reminded me. When I was in Buffalo, I bought the movie that they put out on DVD.
Yeah.
And I still haven't watched it because I don't have a DVD player.
Yo, the movie was pretty good.
I just had to buy it because I bought it. I was like, do I still have a computer with a DVD player?
No, I was annoyed though because I watched the movie. I was halfway through it and then it disappeared. And I couldn't watch it anymore. It was gone. But Khan, we've been watching this movie now for, well, listen, your movie goes back further than when we were watching.
Right.
Like, well, you were actually started, we're talking like early 2000s. That's like probably my favorite thing about you is that I know so many people say from that era, of which I was working with artists in that era. That was Kev Brown. We were all working in that era.
Yeah.
That in between vinyl and digital era.
Mm-hmm. The blog era?
Into the blog era.
Yeah.
Most of the people who predated the blog era didn't make it. The transition was too hard. Like it was just, everyone felt lost.
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
Right, right.
And you've managed to like reinvent and here you are.
Yeah, that's the, you know, that was the key, man. Sometimes you got to reinvent yourself, man. And, you know, come back out, you know, stronger and wiser and iller. You know
what, I mean? What was the first iteration? What was your first name? Have you always been Conway?
Nah, I was Loose Cannon.
Loose Cannon.
Like in my high school days, in the early 20s, I was Loose Cannon. Then I just was Cannon.
Here's
and
your biscuit.
Biscuits rolled.
Biscuit rolled, baby. Thank you, Fredo. It was Cannon, and then I wanted to switch my pitch. I just felt like, you know, I wanted something a little more, you know, not so intimidating, I guess. Then I'm just like, one of my favorite movies is the Goodfellas shit, and you know what I mean? And I was going with the Jimmy Conway shit.
Jimmy Conway?
And then I just like, now I'm just Conway.
Yo, I love when
that's
really
hilarious.
By the way, I love when I love when sort simple. Of really simple, obvious things are said, like you explaining that your name's from Jimmy Conway and Goodfellas, and I've known you all these years, never been like, why is he named Conway?
Who's Jimmy Conway?
He's
De Niro?
Yeah,
De Niro's Conway character.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And why the machine? And then when did the machine get added to it? Was it always there?
Nah, it wasn't always there. It was like, I don't know, I guess it kind of grew. You know what I'm saying? Like, as I was, you know, people was watching me record more and seeing, like when I cipher and stuff, like, yo, it's like everybody in a cipher will run out of raps before I do.
A machine.
I would be in the studio, I would do the most songs. I would
Write. Be
up all night writing and recording. And then, like, yo, you still doing me? Like, you a machine, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
And, like, after me getting shot and it just looked like, I just ate that shit and just, you know what I mean? It's like, yo, you really a machine, bro.
Right.
You know what I mean?
What year was the shooting?
2012.
2012. So you were already very much, had already been on the grind trying to make it as a rapper for a minute already.
Yeah, I was already on the grind. And I was on the brinks of giving the shit up because I was living in Atlanta at the time. And, you know, things in the streets start going real, real well for me. I'm saying, I started getting real successful.
I thought you were going to say real, real bad.
No.
It went real, real well.
It was already bad for me. It got real good for me. Like, in Atlanta, when I was down there, I was fucking with Rocco and them niggas, you know. You know, they was showing me mad love and, you know, but I was already up. So it was like, I wasn't even trying to, like, get in their ear, like, yo, I rap. Yo, Rocco, listen, you know Rocco, right?
Yeah.
I'ma do me.
I'ma do me.
All that. I wasn't even knowing that. Like, he just seen me pulling up in my fancy car, too, and, you know, by myself, you know what I mean? And having that shit on. And I was the guy with the weed in the club and the section and shit. Like, yo, you got some more of that gas? Let me get a zip of that gas. You know what I mean? And I was just a homie. And then when, you know, when niggas found out, like, I actually made music, I had made this tape just fucking around down in Atlanta. And it was like 6-7 songs. And it kind of started spreading and going crazy. It was hosted by DJ Infamous.
I know Infamous.
Shout out to Infamous.
I was having money. So I was just like, you know, pay Infamous.
Paying DJ, yeah. Pay someone
to
get
my shit. You know what I mean? And that shit started going crazy down there.
You realize how often the semi-successful street business rapper who pays people to make mixtapes, what percentage of the time they suck? That's like a 94% suck rate.
Yeah.
With like,
I'm going to go a little higher than that. 97.
Yeah, it might be 97, 98. We're like, and you feel like, and the DJ feels pressured.
Yeah.
And they got offered a bag, so they just do it.
Right.
And yet you happen to be the one dude who's doing that who really should just be doing the rap.
Bro. So, I don't even think it was that really. Like, I think just, I don't know, man. You know, shout out my nigga Infamous, man. But I'm sure that was like.
He probably thought you were nice, though.
Risky move pulling up on me and Wes at the house. He pulled up to the house. We had, like, look, nigga. Look, we had him in the kitchen. You know what I mean? Like, bro, this is what we trying to do, bro. Take this. We're going to take this. We going to make this happen. Like, what we doing?
Syph,
like,
if I had come to you and said that happened, Syph would be like, be careful. I don't know if you should do that.
I'm about these dudes. Houses, straps everywhere and all that. Like, all right, then, let's do it.
So it ended up starting, like, moving around Atlanta.
It did, you know what I'm saying? And then that's when I ended up getting shot. You know what I'm saying?
Like, in Atlanta?
Not in Atlanta. I got shot when I came back to Buffalo. Like, this shit going crazy in Atlanta. I'm like, I'm gonna go to Buffalo and, you know, post some posters up and some CD, pass some CDs out, fuck with the DJs. You know what I'm saying? Go to the club. This is back when, you know, that was how niggas A&R they tapes and all that. We go to the strip clubs or go to the clubs and get a DJ 200, 300, 500. Yo, play this joint.
See how people react.
Yeah, to see how people react. So I'm like, let me go to Buffalo and do that. And I was there for maybe like 2-3 days, and, you know, I got shot. Niggas, like, followed me leaving the club.
Was it a straight up robbery situation?
Nah, it was just a,
you know, it was personal shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that. That's the answer. We all know. Okay. Yeah. Got it.
It was a bag probably involved. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. And we talked about this earlier today for the first time. I never really gone into depth with you on it, but like, you talk about it a lot coming up out the bed, you know, like making it out of the shooting situation, getting from the hospital.
Yeah.
How touch and go was it? Like, were you in critical? Was it serious condition? Like, do you have?
Yeah, I was fucked up. Man, I was in critical and serious condition, but, you know, God is the greatest, man. And, you know, I woke up out of that shit and made it out of that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Were you aware when you woke up of what happened?
Nah, but I was told when I woke up, kind of. I woke up already there, already tubed up, already kind of patched up, fixed up, kind of.
In the hospital?
Yeah, I was already.
So you don't even know where it came from? You didn't see it happen?
I didn't see it happen. I don't know. I know it came from. So we leaving, we get to the club, dropping the homies off, pull up in the driveway, facing like that way, like the garage and shit. And somebody just pulled up. So it is like kind of behind us. Just start spraying the back of the truck.
Sheesh.
You know what I'm saying?
You remember that part?
I remember that part because I remember, I never forget, I remember just looking in the back seat at my man to tell him, like, yo, because it just sounded like, that's how I know that was the first shot that hit me, the one that hit me behind my ear. Because it was like a ring, you know, and it was like the shot sounded so faint. It was just sounded like they was like blocks away. I wanted to be like, I was looking at my man.
Like, oh shit, what's happening? Like, someone's
like, yo, nigga, somebody letting that shit off. And I seen like how he was in panic mode. And that's when I kind of just fell out. My bad, fell out and hit the steering wheel.
Oh shit.
And then I was out.
Are you out?
When I woke up for a little bit, when I was getting, I was in an ambulance. Lights passed back out again. Then that's when I woke up. I was already patched up. Kind of.
This is very unprofessional of me and not related at all, relatable at all to what your situation is. But was there a hot EMT nurse, like a hot EMT in the ambulance?
Nah, I was out
here. How would he know? How would he know?
Like, my dream is like to get, not to get shot. But yeah, if I'm ever in an ambulance, remember that album cover with Trina? Remember Trina was in the EMT with the ambulance, and she's like, oh, with the fat ass. That's like how I think. That's how I think my ambulance rides.
So if you're doing, you're basically saying you wish. You're asking Conway, was it like when Biggie rap do real things?
Exactly.
Nurses said I need about 3 weeks for a cover. Yeah. The doctor said.
That's crazy.
Fredo and Goose was there. Like,
I was gonna ask you who
Fredo
was there.
Fredo and Goose, you know, them my brothers. Like, them my real family. So they was in a hospital, and you know, I'm at the house during my entire recovery. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Did everybody live?
They probably could tell you shit that I didn't even see or was aware of, the reactions from everybody, like, at the hospital and everything. Yeah, me and my cousin Hammer, we the only ones that got hit.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody, we was good.
See, that's crazy, though, because you was bubbling in Atlanta both ways, street ways and music-wise. Yeah, it was just, and you come home. Yep.
That's always how it is, right?
You come home.
It's always the trip home, bro.
Yeah. It's like Carlito's Way or some shit.
It does feel like it's always like,
then
home.
You start making a legit moves. Everything's starting to go right. You're like, let me go home, get the buzz up,
No, and feel good, too. Like, you were going home feeling good.
Feeling good. Like, I'm the man. You feel me? I mean, a little shorty with me and all that. You know what I'm saying? It was like the shorty was in the truck with me when I got shot. And I probably spoke to her like one time after that. Like, that, I could imagine the kind of trauma that was for
her. It's not a great first or second date, that's for sure.
They say that bitch was motherfucking hopping the gate and crawling and shit to get up out of there.
Jesus. Lord. Yo, real question. Do you ever have like dreams about it?
Yeah, all the time.
What is the, is it a similar outcome? Does it change every time?
No, it's always the other outcome. It's
wow.
Very good. I was always like, I don't know why I think about that and why that plays so much in my mind. Like,
oh, but it's called dream PTSD, about dying, son.
Yes, you know? It's PTSD.
It's trauma.
Yeah, that's what my doctor told me.
It's not. I mean, I'm laughing, but it's like we don't deal with this shit where we come from.
Facts.
It's trauma. It's war, bro.
Especially that. Like, that's, I mean, that's like coming back from battle and people always, they never get the images out of their head.
Yeah.
You know, and then you also, then the fact that your life in many ways has become a dream.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
And it happened kind of during all that. Like, I remember I got a call, you know, Atlantic. Well, I don't know if it would have materialized into nothing, but. Like Atlantic, somebody from Atlantic Records had, you know, wanted to talk about some shit with me. Well,
from the music that was buzzing?
Yes, yeah, from the music. But this is while I'm in the hospital, right? You know, fucked up.
And, yeah, that's.
And then my people who was talking with him and dealing with him was, you know, we ain't know no better. So, you know, niggas still trying to like lie about my age and stuff and not even tell him about the shooting. Like, we don't even want to. Yeah, he good. No, we'll be there. You know what I mean? Not knowing I'm laying up and fucked up.
I mean, they did the right thing. Yeah. Yeah, we'll be. Where's the meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. Yeah. How long did you, did you stress for a while that your facial paralysis would affect your attempt to make it?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Like, but not that long, honestly. Now that I'm thinking about it, I didn't stress for that long. I kind of was like, I got into my, I don't give a fuck what nobody thinks. I'm about to be the illest. I'm about to be iller than everybody with half my face paralyzed. Like, nah, fuck that.
And realize how to make it like a superpower.
Because I was still going to record, like, ask my bro Rick Hyde. Like, you know, I was back when he was asking about the Shay and all that stuff. Like, and I remember I was telling you I had a bullet in my neck for like a year and a half.
Which is wild also.
What?
When I went to finally get that shit out, when I left surgery, I swear to God on my two kids, I left surgery and I got in a taxi and went straight to DJ Shay's studio and recorded like three songs. Fresh from the hospital from getting a bullet removed out of my neck. You know what I'm saying? Like, Axe Rick High, I put that on my youth.
Wow. That's incredible.
And just seeing everybody, at first it was skeptical, but seeing everybody reaction, like from how I sounded, because that was the only thing like that was like fucking with my mind. Like, damn, I sound like, you know what I'm saying?
What, like, because of your face?
Fucked up, yeah, because of my face. Like, I couldn't, and that wasn't even like this. It wasn't even this well.
Yeah.
It was like a little more. I couldn't. Right. It was like I was talking through my teeth, kind of like.
I feel like you look somewhat different in the last five, since I met you 6 years ago. I mean, I'm sure your body naturally continues to evolve.
You know, it's the power of, you know, man, good ginger shots and sea moss and black seed oils. You know what I'm saying? 100% agave.
We can't go from the ultimate street talk to sea moss. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that's it.
A joke.
But that's
I'm 40, man. You know, I got to be here, man. You know, I'm at that age, man, where I got to,
man, I don't know what I'm saying?
Got to balance it out.
Bro, I really did today just have the realization, Saif, of how this dude could not have had more strikes against him to make it in the music business.
Right.
Everything you're trying to do, you know, like, oh, well, be from a market where people, everyone's checking for you. Right. Nope, don't have that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Be, well, you got it. It's a young man's sport, but you didn't get signed until you were in your mid-30s.
Yeah. Yep.
And still, Saif got
signed to Eminem at that. You know, top of the hill.
The top. You had situations with, you guys had situations with Roc Nation and with Shady.
Yeah.
The app, like you talk about a cosign.
Right.
Like, is there a crazier cosign, Saif? If there's a crazier cosign than M, it's J. If there's one crazier than J, it's M. And y'all had both.
Right. right.
Like, it's pretty amazing. I was thinking about, can you even remember the amount of features you've done now with prominent artists?
No.
No
way.
Just like, it ain't even a shock to me no more. Like, sometimes there's the fan in me, like, dude, I can't believe this nigga just sent me this. Get on, but I'm not shocked no more. It's like, man, I done did shit with whole, only, it's only like, it's still a couple that I would be like, it'll just blow my mind.
All right. Give us a couple.
Wait, that you did or that
no,
you,
that would.
That it would.
Blow my mind.
Right, right, okay.
Or like what?
Wait, okay, hold on. Set it up. This is the clip.
Oh, this is the clip.
This is our social media
Conway
clip.
Conway says he really wants to work with.
Yeah.
Set up the question. What's the question?
Yo, okay, here we go. Watch. Hold on. Let me get the camera. Hold on.
Make sure you got enough headroom.
Yeah, okay, here we go.
Title the clip.
Here we go.
We're going viral.
Here we go. So, yo, Conway, you've worked with so many people, man, but tell us who's out there in hip-hop you haven't worked with that you would just love to work with.
That's a great question, Peter Rosenberg. I'd have to say, damn, I ain't gonna lie, I got stoned and forgot. You know what I'm saying? Lauryn Hill.
Oof.
Lauryn Hill.
Three Stacks.
Oh, no, boy. Well, you just want to say, yo, my man wants to set the impossible bar for everything.
Three Stacks?
Yeah. No, well, Lauryn and Three Stacks in the same conversation are two
not on the same
record.
Oh, no, that's not. You relax, buddy.
I'll shoot for the moon. Hey, Lauryn.
No, you could do it.
Queen Lauryn, my brother Three Stacks, if you're listening.
Three Stacks could definitely
happen.
Three
Stacks is, everything about him is mood when you ask.
Yeah.
The mood he's in.
Have you met him before?
No, never.
Yeah, he's a rare one. Saif, you've seen him somewhat recently, right?
Some recently in London, playing his flute.
Playing his flute, bro.
Yeah.
Playing his flute. Yeah. And I was at, yo, it's a, like a, some kind of Mexican, it has a name, like a Mexican instrument. He's like, I got about seven of them. I get him tuned up, and he was just playing his flute.
That's some in
a,
cool shit,
in a club. We were in the club.
Oh, he was, but he wasn't performing. He was just playing for himself.
Just sitting there vibing.
But people were surrounding him.
And have you met Lauryn?
I met Lauryn.
Wow, you chose two good ones,
man. I was going to say Dre, Dr. Dre, but I already kind of worked with Dre, but it don't count because it ain't come on. We ain't do nothing with it. It just like was combing through some beats. I was in the studio with him.
That's still pretty. That's kind
of. It doesn't count, but it's, that's crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the dream.
I ain't going to lie, I drive on. I gave him some bars and all that. Like, we, you know what I'm saying? I came up with a hook. I kind of like seized my opportunity. You know what I mean? Like, I'm one of them type of dudes. Like, it might not even be my time or whatever in the room, but I'm gonna just be still sitting back like a shark in the water that smell blood. Like, I can't wait to get my shot. I'm gonna take my shot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so he thought we combing through the beat. I done ended up picking a beat. Yeah, no, that's your heart right there. Go, you know what I mean? And these beats, I'm telling you, see, the world ain't really heard nothing. And he pressed play on records with artists. Like, bro, that shit Dr. Dre got over there in that computer and that hard drive.
These are old. You think they're old beats?
New beats.
And new records with artists.
New records.
Really?
So he pressed play on these records. Fucking beats, and I don't know, pick one we driving. So he got a couple. This is a couple. This is a bunch of us in there. We chilling. Dr. Dre studio sessions is like, you might as well say like a house party, bro. We everybody. We nigga, it's a vibe. You feel me?
Who else was there?
I just heard that recently. Somebody
like Ty Dolla $ign.
Anderson
like
Paak.
Snoop Dogg's son. Nah, AP wasn't there. You know, just
Snoop Dogg's son.
And A&R stuff. Yeah,
Snoop Dogg's son was there. He raps.
No, he was just there. Just you know.
He's at his uncle's house.
Yeah.
The football player or a different one?
Yeah, the oldest. His oldest. You know, he on a different brain wave, like a different mentality. He up here with it. Shout out to Neff. But
yo, bro, I mean.
So yeah, so we do the joint. So it's a couple dudes in there, and I could tell Dre. You know, he know me, recognize me, dap me up. But I could tell he looking for these two dudes. You know what I mean? For the drum, like what I should say right here. He looking at them though, but I already got the line. Nah, you should say nah. He like. Yeah, that's why. He go in front of the mic and actually say that shit.
Dre went, what you told him to say. Word. He went and recorded it.
Word.
That's,
so now God. I'm open now. Yeah. Like, now he waiting for, he building it line by line, piece by piece.
Yeah, I heard he do that.
I got to follow up with that. But he keep looking at these two particular dudes like he talking to them. But, nah, you should say, nah, now you should come like this, big bro.
How long ago was this experience?
When this was, Chad.
Yeah, a Donda time.
When we was working
so
on Donda.
Two years ago. Almost 3 years ago. I respect that because it's easy when you get to the place that you're at to not want to shoot the shots anymore.
Right.
Because now you can have a little bit of pride, a little bit of ego. Like, I was talking to my girl yesterday. I had a press pass to the Knicks game.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how far the pass could get you. And I hadn't done this game in a while because I've gotten comfortable.
Right.
I used to be hustling to get passes, and then I'm like figuring out where I can go.
Yeah.
And Natalie was like, what do you think you would have done? What would 27-year-old you have done? I was like, what? I would have left with drops from everybody. I would have had videos.
You would have hung out with Spike Lee after the game.
It would have been everything. Instead, I did like a quick little walkthrough because my pride is like, well, I don't want to get seen, you know, trying to do too much. Yeah. So I commend you for being like, no, fuck that. Man, jump in and let him know.
You got to seize the moment, man.
Bro, I lost
close
so many.
Mouth don't get fed.
Facts.
I lost so many moments not being like, if I do this, I'm gonna look like I'm playing myself. You know what I mean?
Right. And
but that's like outside.
You were in a good spot.
But with everything in life, I feel like we gotta have that attitude with everything. Like, we can't have that fear of flying. Like, you know what? Fuck that. I'm hungry. You know what I'm saying? Now it's a thin line between being hungry and being thirsty.
Thirsty, yeah.
And that's hard to determine sometimes. Like, it's difficult. Like, yo, bro, relax. I heard
okay, that's the clip. Got the line. You got the stay right here.
I'm giving them
Conway
flips
says,
right now.
Conway says there's a thin line.
I'm giving them flips right now.
There's a thin line between being hungry and thirsty. Wow.
Write that up.
Yeah, man.
I'm sure everyone's asked you about this 1,000 times, but like, what was the moment like in the famous picture of you talking to Hove?
Oh, I was just about to ask that.
Like, what was when
Bro,
you...
And you know what's crazy? I saw that moment. Is it a picture? Well, there's a video too, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's video of them talking
Where
on stage.
Where was that? Was that? That was in New
LA,
York.
LA.
Oh, LA, Noble. LA. Bro, I saw that moment and I said to myself, I think I might have spoke about it on here. I've had a couple moments like that. Mm. That face to face with Hove in a pivotal moment. And I was like, oh, I know exactly what's going on right there.
But that was your first time meeting him though, right? That was the moment.
Yep.
That was the first time you met him?
That was before there had been serious.
My first time meeting him.
Right.
That was my first time meeting him.
And he already knew.
And to meet him at the show, like, and you know, I just kind of like unpack everything. So it's like, yo, this man left the game.
Yeah.
And it's just him and Emery. in LA. Yep. I'm sure he had probably like some type of $1 million plain Jane, no diamond watch on. And it's just that type, that level of comfort. It just, I'm gonna just walk across the street from the Staples Center and go over here and watch these boys show. It was crazy to me. You know what I mean?
Had you already rocked?
No, I ain't even go on yet. That's what I'm saying. He got there like right when I was about to go on. You know, how he was doing it was Wes would go first, then he'll bring Benny out. Benny would do his shits, and then Benny would bring me out on the Tito's back joint. And yeah, man, shit, I come out, I'm walking through the hall. I didn't even know, like, I didn't even know he was there until I went to take me a break. I think I was doing the cow, and I kind of broke down, and I had to walk off the stage, get a towel, and just wipe my face and all that. And he was right there.
Like, oh, come here. Like Jesus Christ, it's bloop right there.
My eyes, world.
And what'd he say? He's just telling you he was a fan?
Yeah, he was just telling me he was a fan of that overdose record I got with Alchemist. Like, yo, that overdose is crazy. You know what I mean? We talked about some other. He gave me some other jewels, but I ain't. You know, he don't.
Those are the personal jewels.
Yeah, he don't like when you talk about the shit.
See, this is what I'm telling you.
I know.
This is what I'm telling you, like those moments.
I got set up.
Private.
I got set up.
And the thing about Hov is that. If he's willing to talk to you and drop those gems, he trusts you to keep those gems.
Yeah, but I just want to say for the record, I was screwed, pause, by Ibra.
Yes.
Because I had the moment with Hov.
Look, that's mine, yo. That's mine at the Barclays.
That's one of many.
Yeah. No, but this is, he was, Ross. That's Ross, yeah.
Ross's big ass back.
Khaled back there too, hating. But that's
a hell of a pick right
and
there.
This is not even the, I got one without Ross where he's like that's, really telling me some shit and it was like
the best pictures, the best videos, cause you know one thing about Hov, he really is like a fan too of this hip hop shit. Like
he really is.
He gonna give you flowers, man. He gonna pull you to the side and he just a regular dude. Like he ain't never really struck me as no funny style industry nigga. Like, that's why I respect and honor. That's why he hate that internet stuff and blah. Like, if y'all have a convo, he absolutely hate you run back on an interview or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so Jay-Z said, you know what I mean? Like, he probably will never answer another text message from you.
So he called me and told me some things. And I knew he wouldn't want it to be private.
Yeah. Why are you skipping the first part though?
What it was?
Why he called?
I've never told that part.
Oh really?
No.
Oh.
That's I think the only thing that salvaged anything. I never said what it was about.
Gotcha.
All I said was that Ebro
he did call you.
All is that Ebro was like, well, tell the story, just don't say exactly what I said.
Right.
So I did that. I basically said he called and G-checked me, but I didn't say what it was over.
Right.
And by the way, that's the whole story.
Yeah.
What it was over is the whole thing. And the fact that I saved that, I think, would be enough to spare me. But it made me realize, I was like, I wish I just hadn't said anything at all.
Yeah, he preferred it.
Because he picks the moments. He knows who he is.
Yeah.
Like, he's absolutely aware. That's why the type of thing I said in the story always is that he literally called and said, yo, this is Hov. And I said, who? And he went, there's only one Hov.
Bro, you used to do the morning show, right?
Yeah.
And we used to do a pre-morning show because they was giving us the bullshit. So we had a pre-morning show and then Big Boy used to come on as a syndicated show. So we was talking about snitching on the radio. Hov, on the way to the airport or coming back from the airport, he was going to the airport. He was like, this is what snitching is, and wrote a whole long description. He's like, if you witness a murder and you have nothing to do with it, that's not snitching. Snitching is if you do crime with somebody and they get caught. And I was like, this is a crazy. I still have the BlackBerry that message saved, so I don't lose it. But like, he'll have to talk.
No, that's how he is. He's funny too, so you never know if he's just like busting your ball.
Yeah. Oh no, and he likes to bust
he's
balls.
Serious funny. He's like, you don't know if he's serious or funny with it. Like,
yeah, he's funny.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
we just talked about the Jay. Talked about Dre. What about the first time you met Marshall?
Oh, that was. You can imagine. Like the funny thing about Marshall is that's actually. And I wanted to hit his little ass in his chest too when he said it. But my son was like, I'm like, who are your favorite rappers? He's like, oh, Friends, Eminem, then you, Dad. Fuck out of here. You know what I mean? But, so it was like dope as hell for me to, you know, even do the deal with him. And he was always one of my favorite rappers, always my favorite. You know what I mean?
Where do you have him? Yo, M gets a, I know this may sound like naive, I'm surprised at the random hate M still gets on the internet.
I know.
Like,
know.
I don't, I thought he surpassed it. Like, I was like, didn't everyone give up and just be like, yeah, the whole white boy shit, it like died at some point. He just became.
He's like.
I don't get it either. I don't understand why he get it.
He's grandfathered in.
He's Eminem.
He proved everything he could prove.
Yo, and he not only proved it with the music, he proved it with the commitment to like, treating hip hop in the right way exactly. In every setting possible, bro.
Yeah.
Like he gets up at the award shows and shouts out Kool G Rap. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so I'm always surprised. But what do you think? I feel like M's presence in a room is much different than Hov. Like they're both crazy, iconic presence. But M, I don't know. When M, remember, Sif, when M was in Detroit, he crept up. And I like turned around and M was just standing there. Whereas when Hov comes to Hot 97, like you can feel the building shake when he gets there.
Right. But that's different though, because we was in M's house.
Yeah, his studio.
We went to his studio where, Hot 97, when somebody comes in, especially at that caliber,
there's buzz.
You start feeling a yammering and shit and people start talking.
Whereas M showing up to his own home studio, no one gives a shit. He's there every day.
Yeah.
But he's a crazy one, man.
Nah, they kind of, it's the only thing different about it is like, you can't get stoned around him. You know what I'm saying? You can't really have no drinks or none of that shit. When I went, but M is a regular, that's the thing. Like, what people just see, like, these celebrities that's like super duper mega superstars. You know what I mean? They just think that, they're no longer like, yo, at one point, that motherfucker Eminem was homeless like I was.
Right.
You know, he got two lungs and he breathed oxygen
Yep.
And, what I'm learning is guys like that just want to be accepted as that. Like when I be with Hov, like, we ain't with all that. Sometimes we ain't on that vibration right now with all the pictures and, you know what I'm saying? Like, we want to just chill and eat Yellowtail.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Well,
Yellowtail.
Don't treat, we don't want to, we good. We chilling. Like, so that's what I get when I meet Hov. Like, I remember one time Hov, I'm on the phone. I'm chilling with Hov at the Hard Rock in Florida and shit. And, kicking in and all that. And I'm even on my fan time. This is one of my first times. You know what I mean? I'm still like, spending this much time with him was shocking to me. Like, damn, that shit, sit down, you good, you chill. So I'm with him, we chilling. And my man called from jail, you know what I'm saying? My right-hand man. And he heard it, Hov heard it.
Over. What, correctional facility?
And I'm like, geez, what up? You know, I'm on speakerphone. What's good with you, bro? He's like, Hov like, let me see that phone. Took my phone, like, yo, it was like, talking to my man.
Wow.
Like,
nah. Like, he jumped on the phone with your boys.
Facts. Like, that's crazy. What's good, man? Like, yo, man, you good in there? How you? You know what I mean? Just kind of made my homeboy day with that.
Day? What? That might last you 6 months.
In jail?
And again, that's what I'm saying. He's aware of the power that he has and knows how to use it in positive ways.
Yeah. Same thing with him. We used to be at the festivals and shit, Coachella, and I'd go back there, he'd come out his trailer and just spend like this whole, 20 minutes or whatever he had before he had to get ready to go on stage with me, like just talking, giving me questions and shit and all that, regular guys. That's really all I'm trying to say. Like, they're just regular dudes.
Yeah, but I saw that picture when you first met Hov, and I think somebody told me you whispered it in his ear, like, and beat you on your own record. Didn't you say something like that too?
That didn't come up.
Nah,
that's why I murked.
He murked you on Renegade, son.
It's fake news.
All right, so last outside person I want to ask you about, since we're already down the road. Mm-hmm. Gotta ask about the Ye project. I talked to Gunn about it afterwards. Did you go to the Donda shows?
I went to one of them.
What were those things like?
I went into one in like Atlanta.
Oh yeah, in the football stadium. It was cool.
Fine, yeah.
Did it feel like on the outside it looks chaotic? Does it feel chaotic on the inside? Like, does anybody know what the fuck's going on?
He does. That's all that matters. You know what I'm saying? But it's not as like it looks on the outside. And on the inside, it's like, you know, again, man, you know, when you watch things through that scope, like the social media lens and all that, you're gonna, you know, get what you get from it. You know what I mean? But when you in close proximity, you get to see, like,
it feels more human.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yay is fine. Like, yay is fine. You know what I'm saying? I was there with him. I stayed, lived at his house.
How long were you there?
About 2 weeks. Two and a half weeks.
Jeez. Did you guys do more songs?
We did a gang. I did a gang of records over there. Facts. I did a gang of records over there. Just watching him create and make beats from scratch. And
now, do you get to leave with anything from that? Like any roughs of any sort? Or are you just leaving? That's it?
I don't think I did. Nah.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, when you do stuff like that, you just drop verses wherever and then leave and you don't worry about what happens with those verses?
Nah, until they get used. But see, I'm going to be honest, and I don't even know if I should be even, like, I don't want to, like, sound like I'm trying to, basically what I'm about to say is, like, I approached the situation wrong. I wish I had a do-over with that. A lot of shit I don't be tripping on, but I wish I had a do-over with that.
Kanye?
Kanye shit, because I went out there under the impression, yo, I'm about to go out here and, you know, write some songs for him. So I never did no writing, you know what I mean, for other people. My shit. I barely write my own shit. Right. I just go in, you know what I mean? So, and especially like some gospel rap kind of vibe. So, you know, I went in there and I was writing from the perspective as if like I'm him. He going to save my raps.
Right.
What I should have did was went in there like these songs that he played me was featured me. I feel like the verses would have been way better out because just my approach on the track, I feel like,
you know what I'm trying to say? You tried to shape it.
I was trying to shape it and mold and tailor, make it for Ye instead of just like going on there and just hearing Donda and hearing other records and the other people he had come in and do stuff. That's what they did. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
They didn't really go in it. Like, that's what Sci High was doing. Like, I spent like my whole time with Sci High.
He's, by the way, Sci High is ill.
Bro, amazing. That guy Sci High, man.
Sci High's fucking.
That album, I
love the Sci High.
I was late
on
it, but that shit really is fire, bro.
There ain't too many people fucking with Sci High.
Yeah, like, I don't like
it
to
is
use.
It's phenomenal, bro.
Yeah, shouts to Sci High. I don't like to use the term underrated too much because it sounds like people don't appreciate, but like, Sci High is, he's a fucking impressive dude, bro.
Ooh, let's get him on the show.
We should get Sahai on the show. I'm a big fan. By the way, Jay Skies in the building as well.
Jay Skies is in the building.
Jay Skies' album Syfe is one you should listen to.
Jay Skies.
Yeah, it's streaming. It's streaming everywhere right now. And I love your guys' story of meeting. And I love that you guys are different. So Syfe Skies does not talk about bricks and guns.
Aw.
I know.
Damn it.
He is.
Where am I going to find those kind of raps?
New Conway album. But Skies was selling you shoes? Is that the situation?
Yes, he's worked out a spot. I mean, you know, he told you the story.
Yep. You know, I'm just curious from your perspective.
He worked out a store. I've heard of him and stuff around town and shit, like his skill and stuff before that, but. You know, we didn't grow up together. Or we weren't from the same hood and none of that. But, you know, it was a mutual respect and all that. We kind of knew of each other and knew each other. We seen each other even before the sneaker store shit. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that's just where, you know, life had us at the time. But, and it really wasn't even on my mind. Like, yo, nah, when I make it, man, I want to. It never really happened like that. I really don't know. I just was starting to get into a good place with it. I remember what we did, the spooky show. Was that before I DM'd you?
That was way before that.
Before I DM'd you.
That was 2016.
The Spooky Show.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's when Prodigy was still living. Yep.
Wow.
So I had, I was doing a show. I had did my own show. This is 2016, right? 15, 16? Yeah, P was still living. I had Prodigy perform.
I forgot Mayhem, the whole Lorenz, Prodigy Static connection. Selector.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that's, I forgot that whole Skis segment. Rocked,
and years later, it's just like, yo, what you want to do, bro? Like,
so years later, after rocking with him, you came back around.
Yeah, like, yo, what's good, bro? Because I always felt like, me, I was always a fan of just lyrics. I don't care what you're talking about, what your story is,
right?
Where you, you didn't have to be, you know, a gangster,
yeah,
or a drug dealer, or none of that for you to be. That don't, to me, that don't dictate whether you nice or not. Like, right. It's, those is the usually the guys that lose in the battles. All the ones I went to, they usually lose. I mean, we saw 8 Mile. That's a little glimpse. Yeah. B-Rabbit fucked Papa Doc up.
Yep.
The toughest motherfucker in Detroit. And they couldn't even get a word out. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So I always was impressed by, you know what I mean? You know, I'm kind of from the old school. I just was always impressed by the rapper and the MC that was more intelligent than the other niggas. Like, I like smart, ill, lyrical rap niggas. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what's
and
ill
then
about
that
you.
Prodigy Hell on Earth album where he blended the still the street grimy shit, but he was like, I feel like that was his lyrical peak, like lyricism with the street grimy shit, where he was saying words and, you know, that verse on Apostles Warning and shit like that. It was like, man, you hear what this man's saying? And that's where I kind of got my shit from. So fast forward having that, you know, just me and bro and just hearing how he come. It ain't got to be full of just like bricks and shot this and shot that. Like,
well, by the way, I feel like
that should be cap anyway. Niggas ain't never dead and killed nobody and none of that shit.
Well, I mean, you're a very rare example of living the life that you rap about, or at some point you did. But by the way, drum work in general does not mirror your lyrical style.
Yeah.
You know, Love the Genius does not remind me of
right.
Conway the Machine.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I really appreciate that. Like, honestly, I get that from you guys.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I have my share of it.
Real talk.
And I still have other ones I like too. There are a lot of people doing street shit that I really enjoy. But like, yeah, I need the balance, especially
you
me doing my
son. Balance, man.
I can't play every record I play on my radio show is about bricks. I can't. Yeah. I need everything.
Do we not love, you know, Fife and them? The
right.
Do we not love, you know, Sam Recipes, True Goy, all them niggas? Do we not love them? They wasn't selling no fucking cocaine on their records. They was having fun and spitting that shit. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of artists, a lot of groups, and it's okay. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and that's what I'm glad that bro don't need me to, you know what I'm saying, to coach him or tell him, you know, or pet his ego that it's okay. He's super confident in what he got to bring to the table. You know what I'm saying? And he going to leave his legacy like that. And I think that's what's the illest shit about Skis, is that he ain't caught up in, you know, the perception of like what, you know, everybody else doing. Like, he do him. You know what I'm saying? And that's why he gonna win.
I wonder how many, you probably seen this, how many cats from Buffalo were like more lyrical or underground, and since y'all blew up, they became gangsters all of a sudden.
Like, they thought that was the Buffalo.
This is the only way to bust out of Buffalo.
I don't what even they care. Did. I'm drunk now too. I'm gonna speak my mind. 1,000%.
And it's like, you didn't have to do
so
that.
Refreshing about Skis, right. About love.
Yeah.
Like, they're not getting caught up in that. It's the same thing with, you know, just a lot of this East Coast shit and all that. Niggas wanna just follow a lot of rappers. Like, it ain't East Coast anywhere. Like, we wanna just do what everybody else doing. What everyone, okay, Chicago, that drill, okay, New York drill, when everybody want a motherfucking Pop Smoke beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
like, whatever happened to being like just original, just being creating your own patch.
I get it a little bit. I give them a little bit of a pass on the point that where we come from, people are so desperate to get out They think this is what it was. But the problem I have with it, if you think this is the way to go, then shoot your shot.
Right.
But what is they talk? They talk all the shit off the like you like, bro. I met you a year ago, and you weren't a gangster. And like,
yeah.
If you think that music is gonna help you get out of your current situation, right. Okay, I understand.
More power to you, right?
And we live. I grew up in New York, so yeah. I was always around the music industry. Yeah. I can't imagine if you live somewhere in the middle of the country and don't know how to get out, and this sound works, and you go think for
that's
it,
the way,
right?
Then if you're making music that way, but when you start trying to act that way when it's not real.
Right.
I'm like, what are you, what the?
Especially in these times, these young boys are G-checking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, you know, and it should be okay, man. Like, that's just me personally. Personally, I like when somebody is just original and just doing it their way and, you know, trying to stand out and be an outside the box thinker. You know, like me, I love gangster rap. I love that gangster shit on the track, nigga. West Coast gangster shit from the early 90s.
Yeah, that's my shit.
Honed my skill. Like, where
Dog Pound.
What inspired me. Yeah. You know what I mean? MC8 and Spice One and them.
Spice One too?
You know what I'm saying? Yes. Wow. Like,
Trigger's got no heart?
Exactly. So I'm gangster rap to the fullest right. and stuff. But what I'm saying is, I personally think that there's nothing wrong with, you know, the lyrical, just the ill MC. It ain't gotta be lyrical, just the ill MC who I ain't sold nothing. That don't mean I ain't from the hood or I ain't lit. Yeah. I'm from it too. I'm from the east side. I saw it just like you saw it. I wasn't walking around and I don't talk about that shit in my raps. I ain't shooting nobody or killing nobody in my raps or selling no bricks in my raps and trapping and, you know, fucking your bitch and all that in my shit. I'm just buying you down. I'm buying you to death. Even if you sold drugs and did that. It's rappers that was outside and did it. I can name it. It's a lot of niggas that was on that. That was still outside, still active. Gangbangers or whatever. But that ain't what they spit about.
Right, right. But they wanted to make music that was about other things.
Yeah, like they just was barring shit down.
So was G-Rap the first sort of quote gangster kind of rapper that you were into?
No.
Who came first?
The East Coast, yeah.
But it was the West Coast shit first that got you.
West Coast shit first. Ice Cube.
Give me your top five. I'm going to do East Coast and West Coast. Give me your top five West Coast influences on your early days that geared you towards what you are now.
Early days. I'm about to go Ice-T.
Ice Cube.
I mean, basically, I got to say the whole NWA is one. Ice Cube. I mean,
NWA. I'll put NWA and Cube in the same one. That's one.
Yep. NWA, Ice-T, and MCA, Spice One.
MCA, DJ like Quick. Listening to the whole album.
Yeah.
Spice One is LA or Bay?
It's Bay.
It's West Coast.
Yeah, West Coast. And then what was the last one?
Yeah, well, Spice One from the Bay. And Quick, DJ Quick.
Quick.
Yeah.
Love Yo, Quick. Man, Quick is incredible, Love man. Quick.
No man. Dog Pound?
Yeah, Dog Pound, but that was, you know.
A little later.
Right. Definitely Dog Pound, Corrupt. Shout out my dude, Corrupt Gotti, man.
That first Dog Pound album, I can't.
Syph loves that first Dog Pound album.
I cannot listen to it, man. That
Dog Pound, for sure.
I cannot listen to it, bro.
I don't know, man. I might got to put them. Mike got me there, man. Snoop and Dre and them, definitely. I forgot about
but
that.
But Snoop and Dre is almost a given.
Yeah, right. It's almost like they get an asterisk.
We all get that,
exactly.
Yeah.
I got to go with that Dog Pound, Snoop and Dre, that Death Row, early Death Row over Quick. I'm going to put Quick at six.
That's fair.
And well, Quick helped a lot of Death Row shit on the low, producing and mixing and all that.
So what are you asking me for as top five what?
Like influences.
Influences.
Yeah.
Yeah, like like what made you
want to
eventually get to where you are now, but what was like the early sparks?
The early sparks.
Yeah.
Hove.
Which Hove? Which album?
Reasonable Doubt.
Reasonable Doubt. I said that, right? I said he was going
to
say that.
I had a summer youth job and I used to listen to that shit on my way to work and back and forth.
On cassette.
All summer long on cassette.
The cassette.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
A Reasonable Doubt.
Reasonable Doubt. Big. Helter Skelter Nocturnal
album. Wow. Okay, Conway.
Ooh, yeah. That's a fire album.
It was written.
It was written over Illmatic?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And why? How's that?
Hell on Earth.
And Hell on Earth.
And six, Muddy Waters, Redman. That was my
No Wu?
Definitely Wu. I just thought of that as you. No, why was you
at
saying
seven.
That?
At
I
seven.
Like the Purple Tape and Ray, I'm gonna have to put on Helter Skelter at six.
And bump up the Wu?
Yeah.
Even they would agree with that.
I think everyone would be comfortable.
Helter Skelter's a good one, though.
I'm going Wu number one, Reasonable Doubt two.
Wait, Wu, which out? Purple Tape?
Purple Tape, Iron Man.
Oh, both.
Yeah.
You take Iron Man over Supreme Clientele?
No.
But as an early spark, though.
No, it's earlier.
As an early spark.
It's earlier.
I've watched Supreme Clientele, Ghost, Dopest Album.
Yeah,
that's the Ghost, Dopest Album.
Yo, but I can't get over, man, like, Ghost level of consistency in terms of even how he sounds right now when you hear him rap.
Yeah.
Like...
Wait, what Ghost what?
His level of consistency.
Oh, like, yeah.
He's just... And you know what my favorite thing about Ghost is? I don't know if you've had this experience, Con, because you've met so many of your heroes. Ghost is like a person that you watched growing up, and you're like... He's like a character. He's like a figment of hip hop's imagination. Yeah. Like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And then when you meet him, he's a real person, but he is exactly that also.
Exactly that also, word. But you know, every time, see, I met Ghost as he was older and chilling. Like, I would have loved to meet like Ghost in the 90s and
Wild Out Ghost.
Yeah, Wild Out Ghost.
Just scrambling days.
Scrambling
days. We kind of was alike, dog. Like, you know, my younger days and shit too. But like when I meet him, it's just, you know what I'm saying? He's sitting back chilling and giving some jewels. Same thing with Chef. I had Ghostface too to that Lauryn Hill. I'm building a track right here.
Yeah,
me featuring.
But you and Ghost have a record together.
Andre 3000 and Ghostface.
Ooh.
Yeah, but it ain't my record.
It ain't your record, ever, right?
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
That would be.
That's a crazy.
Yo, Conway,
who does the beat?
Stacks. Who do the beat? Justice League.
Ooh. By the way, this has been on my mind all night. Do annoying, like, people who don't know who you are, like annoying white people at the airport when they hear your name, somehow make some confusion with Kanye because your name's Conway? I could see that being an annoying thing that happens somehow.
Actually, it'd be more black people that fuck it up than white people.
And they'll be like, oh, Conway West? You're like, what? That's not even a thing.
I stay getting called Kanye. I stay getting called Wes. I get called Benny.
We get that.
Oh, shit.
We get that every day.
My man, West Side Gun. I got to get a picture, Wes.
No. Okay, so.
I'm Conway.
Right.
Oh, shit. My bad, bro.
Okay. So tell me what you do here. I've had this situation. I'm walking down the hall. I'm walking down to MSG. And someone behind me, I just hear them start yelling, yo, Ebro! Ebro! What do you do? Now, do you ignore it until they say your name right?
Yeah, you ignore that.
I mean, if it's far away and they're yelling at you,
yes.
Yeah, you ignore that shit.
But what if they come right up to your face and they go, yo, West Side Gun, man, I'm a big fan.
That's when you gotta, you say no. Conway. But thank you, though.
You're still a gentleman about
I'm
it.
Still a gentleman.
You West.
I'm sure. I'm West.
Yo, boom, 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 what boom, if they, boom.
Because
what if they think.
No, shit, I appreciate it.
What if they think you said Kanye?
The Eric.
Like, he's like, yo, West Side Gun, what's good? You're like, no, I'm Conway. He's like, you ain't Kanye.
It's like, yo, you know.
No, like, but you know what I was having I was having a conversation with Wale at WrestleMania, and he was talking about how literally just a minute before that, he was walking somewhere, and they were like, Big Sean, or whatever, some other rapper from the era.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I said, do you realize that to not have people say shit like that, you literally have to be like Jay-Z or Beyonce.
Word.
Even if you're big time, I'm talking big.
Word.
Like Patrick Mahomes goes out for a meal and someone calls him another quarterback's name.
Yeah, you gotta be Snoop, Marshall. Marshall got that too.
Yeah, like no one's going up to Marshall and be like, Hove.
Right.
But until you get to that level, it's so funny. Like you could be dumb actors. I know, Idris Elba gets asked about movies that whatever other hot black actor is doing.
Yeah.
Yo, that's crazy. I saw you in Get Out.
Exactly. Daniel Kaluuya movies.
Or they just call you by, you know, that character you play. Like, Stringer Bell. What's up, man?
Yeah. Oh, bro.
Like, yo, my name is Idris, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure that sucks. You know what I'm saying?
I was at the fight a couple weeks ago, and I was with Booker T, the wrestler. You know Booker T.
Yeah.
And Booker T's walking through the crowd, man. And, like, it was fun just to walk behind him and watch how people react to him.
Yeah.
Like, so many people of a certain age all had, like, oh, shit. Oh, it's Booker T. Oh. Yeah. And then some people are just lazy. They just want to call out his dance move. Yo, spin-a-rooney. I'm like, my man, you got to say more than just spin-a-rooney.
I'm fucking crying.
Spin-a-rooney.
What the fuck is that?
You got a cool-ass life, dog. You could just, like, hang out with wrestlers and shit. Like, that shit, me and... We dreamed of, dog.
I mean, listen, bro. I was dreaming of being in the studio with Dr. Dre.
Rap with
so
them wrestlers, like my two, man. Like I wish
you have. What do you mean you wish?
Yeah, but I don't be at the wrestlings and shit like Weston.
Why don't you come as much?
Because they don't. You know them niggas cut me off, man. They don't fuck with me.
Who?
West Side them niggas.
Yo, by the way,
he like going wrestling with his buddy Smoke Dizzard Wale. He don't call him Big Brother no more, man.
By the way, hold on. Sife, headline.
That's the
headline.
Clip.
Hold on, clip. Conway. Right here. Conway's on bad terms with West Side
Gun. I'm on the road tonight. Headlines, man.
Okay, wait. So we were just obviously joking about Gun. Do you get bored of the fact that I feel like every 6 weeks there's a headline on one of the rap sites that says... problems in Griselda.
Yeah.
But like someone just asked me about it and I had to be like, guys, they're legitimate family. We can't keep doing this over and over again. Like it doesn't mean that they're not annoyed with each other or that things don't happen, but like it does seem like every cycle a story comes out about that.
Yeah. It gets old, boring. We need a new hot take. You know what I'm saying? there's no issues with the family. You know what I'm saying? I think it's just, you know, the optics of when niggas looking at it from the outside looking in, they don't see us together as much. You know what I mean? They don't see us hanging or...
Well, everyone has their own...
And all that. Yeah,
y'all have your own situations.
Their own responsibilities and stuff. We getting older. We having kids and all that. We got families. We got businesses. And
I mean, right, even just musically, you're pushing the Skis project right now. Yeah, Benny's got BSF. There's always...
Yeah, we still got each other's full support and blessings through whatever we're doing. And, you know, we just don't never, you know, run to the internet or whatever with it. Like, you know, to try to clear nothing out.
Hey, you don't feel the need to
think what they think.
You don't need to take an Instagram picture and be like, yo, at lunch with my cousin.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So we wanted to ask you, we were talking before you got here, what kind of family, like y'all are family.
Yeah.
As kids, can you describe like the family dynamic in terms of the way you guys kind of all interacted?
Nah, because I really wasn't around as a kid.
They were around.
Yeah. You know, that's what they have that I don't have.
Hmm. You know, and when did you start being around?
Older, as a teenager.
Mm. Yeah. You were just in the street doing different shit?
Yeah, I was with my mom's side of the mom. And
different part of town?
Same part of town.
But different world.
Different world. And I didn't really know that, you know what I'm saying? I ain't really know I had this big of a family. Type shit.
Wow. Ooh. And then when you guys
he's having trouble understanding that this is a guy with two parents and a dog, and he doesn't understand what you're saying.
No. Well, it is funny though. I was talking.
Like, why didn't your dad just call your mom?
Well, no, I was. fine. I'm from a two parent home. Right, no, I was laughing about something today. We had you saw Aljamain Sterling at the station,
right?
So we interviewed this UFC fighter named Aljamain Sterling from Long Island. Went to Uniondale High School.
Oh,
right,
Turtle Hook.
He's got. I said, how many siblings do you have? He was like, it started like that. So you already know it's gonna be an interesting answer. Yeah. He was like 20.
And
I was like, what do you mean like 20? Let's talk about this. Yeah. And he legit couldn't remember. He has eight with the same parents.
Right.
And then it's around 20 total.
Yeah.
And I was just saying, I was like, man, it's crazy how we can all use the word family loosely. Like, oh, people, he cares about his family or he spends time with his family. And yet all of our family situations are so vastly fucking different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I have a very basic platonic family. Brother, two parents. My, you know, parents have a couple siblings. That's kind of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Everyone's situation is so completely different. When you came, when you started being around more, did you guys, like, are you, are we talking about, like, holidays together?
Nah, just every day, all day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would spend, I'd go spend a night, spend the weekends at West House, West Grandmother. That's where we all, you know, I would see Benny and them and Shane Gunn.
Wait, this is teenage?
At Wes's grandmother's house.
Teenagers?
Yeah, it might have been a little younger than that.
Yeah, like Benny, 12.
Benny and them was kids. You know, Shane Gunn was like me and Wes age. Benny is a little younger than that. Benny like 3 years younger than
right.
that. Right. You know what I'm saying? We'd just be spending the night at, you know, at Graham's house. You know, Wes and his grandmother had like, you know, Wes had the video games, you know, the snacks on top of.
Wait, and Wes, yeah, and Wes was super close with his aunt, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And she even like
that's got. That's what I'm saying. Shell was making sure.
Shell, she was into the
wrestling. Like, having dominoes.
He's watching the wrestling.
Going over there. I'm like, I ain't got to eat this can of tuna fish tonight.
Yo, was it, were they
dominoes?
Were they ordering the pay per views over? Were they ordering the pay per views over there?
And I get to watch the pay per views and all that stuff. Your story, like, whack.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? But we were still always rapping and shit. We was probably like 12, 13. 14 years old.
Who was the most motivated of the three of you? Was there one who pushed it the hardest?
Rapping or what?
Just a bit. Like, they were going to do this. Yeah, that we're
just
gonna...
getting it.
Wes.
Had to be Wes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, Wes.
Like, you know what I mean? Wes, we would be recording like a karaoke machine in his basement, his grandmother's basement. You know what I'm saying? man, just always had his dream, and he would be, you know what I mean, making like jerseys or something, a shirt, some shit. He, you know what I mean, a jacket. You know, I made this. You know what I'm saying? This 101, this custom. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, the gun impressions too.
He was always on that. You know what I mean? And we'd be rapping and shit, and making our little tapes on a karaoke machine, and you know what I mean. We just always was like knew he was gonna spit, but. When we was doing that, you know, Benny wasn't rapping. Benny, you know what I'm saying? He was younger than us.
And that 3 years makes a difference at that age.
We think about it. We 14.
Right, so that's 11. Nine. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? 11 years old.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, he was just, you know, watching us and be around. You know what I mean? He with us. It's Benny, Shane Gunn, me.
Was Shane Gunn rapping too?
My man, Matt.
Shane Gunn. Everyone rapping?
Shane Gunn wasn't rapping. Shane Gunn was just the guy who everybody can go to when we needed somebody beat up.
Yo, Shane Gunn bothered is us.
They,
one of the illest names I ever heard,
Shane
yo.
Shane Gunn Black. Word.
Shane Gunn is a, when I first heard that on the records, I was like, that's the illest yeah, name word. Ever.
Man, that's what he was on.
I mean, I've been around hip hop a long time. I've been around the streets a long time. I've heard people been called a lot of different things. I was like, that one was right there.
It was more afraid of his hands than his gun work.
Sheesh.
Really?
Yeah. You ain't want to get no spanking from Shane Gunn.
Really?
Yeah, it was a painful night in the hospital. Painful night or two in the hospital for you.
That's not, we laughing at pain. It's like, yeah, that's crazy.
Conway, this album is, what do you even know what number album you're on?
No.
Chad?
I don't know, man. It's just, we
saying what? It's in the teens, you're saying?
We cooking, man. We cooking.
Yo, but you're prolific on like a crazy, crazy level. Like, I mean, I don't want to say things that are crazy. You tell me if I'm speaking out of school.
Yeah.
But like, I'm starting to think of you and Benny, by the way. Benny gets a lot of shit off too.
Yes.
It used to be back in the day. I don't know how you feel. I thought the most prolific rapper of all time was Tupac. Like for the time that he was on this earth, the amount of features and things he got done and projects. Yeah. Then Wayne came along. And I'm like, all right, Wayne is the most prolific rapper of all time. Like, no one's made more records than Wayne. Yeah. And I think Wayne probably still holds the title for, if you were to actually be able to gather all of his music,
right.
It would take you a lifetime.
Right.
But, Con, I'm not going to lie, bro. You put out a lot of music.
Put out a lot of music, man, bro.
We cooking, man.
Don't you feel like you're running out of things to say?
Yeah, how do you keep coming up with fucking
things?
I don't get it, bro.
It's like nonstop.
Mushrooms. Nah, man. I don't know, man. I just, you know, this is God's gift, man. I'm just, that's why, because I'm not looking for one particular thing to talk about, I think.
Yeah.
I just go in there and say whatever the first thing come to my mind. Like, you feel me? I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what beat I'm going to chew. None of that. I don't even listen to beats until I'm in the studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't even want
to. You need a beat to write?
I play on it.
Or sometimes you write without a beat?
Only after I heard the beat for like a while, and then I got it in my head.
And then you could go right to it.
More, I could just kind of.
Like, because you know how some people just rap, and then they put a beat to it or whatever. Like, some people, like, what I like, and who the fuck am I to judge, but I like when the beat inspires the rhyme.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you hear the beat,
exactly.
And like, that's, oh, it's a little slower. The bass line's making me groove like this.
Yeah, the beat. I don't just have a bunch of raps in my phone or in my notebook that I could just
pull out.
Just pull out and get to spitting. But
yeah, I just pulled up a random. I pulled up a random playlist. So I'm not I'm not giving this person, I don't know if this gentleman knows what he's doing. Yeah. But it's called Conway Features. I was going to just search who has a playlist. See what you remember. Out of Line, Nori featuring Conway the Machine and Method Man.
Yep, fire.
All right.
Shout out my nigga.
Well, this one I know you remember. Saltwater, Danger Mouse, Black Dog, Conway the Machine.
Crack.
Fire. Of course you'll remember Babies and Food, Freddie Gibbs.
Crack.
G Herbo, Machines.
Oh, crack.
Crazy. This is a hell of a playlist.
Russian Roulette, Lil Wayne, Benny, Conway.
What's that from?
Crazy.
From Wayne?
Wayne
album. It's from Wayne's album, yeah.
Oh, I never heard that. Oh, I did hear that one. That one is fire.
Yeah, shit.
Oh, let's see. Tong Po, Bronson, and Conway the Machine.
Crack.
Off that Bronson project.
Crack.
Then there's back-to-back Alchemist joints. Judas, Rey Mysterio, and Mac 10 Wounds with the Alchemist.
Triple crack.
Cracky.
Russ featuring Ghostface and Conway, Distance.
Ooh, wow.
Armani Caesar, of course, from Armani's project. A one with a T.I. record? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I got a Tip joint with Tip.
Yeah, Tip featuring London J, Conway the Machine.
Yeah.
King Kong Rhythm. Jay-Z, Jadakiss, Conway the Machine. You just love that line. Just the listing. Just the fact that exists
That goaded me right there. That goaded me. And I had the rawest verse. Goaded.
Was that agreed? Was that a shared opinion?
I don't care who opinion it is. It's my opinion. I had the illest verse upon that record.
And that's the joint from the soundtrack.
On hood.
38 Special joint, 223s. I love this joint. This one's recent. I used to play this all the time. The Red Pesto, Mayhem, Loren, Derringer, and you.
Yeah.
This joint's hard.
Yes, sir.
Lloyd Banks, Menace. Shit. Shouts to Banks, who's ducking me. We need
a hell of an album playlist right
now. No, he's doing a great job. He's doing great. Hood Blues, DMX.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
Oh, Hood Blues is fire.
Yeah. By the way, that was the best song on that album, I think.
I do too.
It's a good album, though.
It's a good album, but that one to me.
Don't get enough burn.
That one felt the most organic.
Yeah, that one felt real.
Yeah.
Oh, he had shouted you out before that, too, right? Or when he was doing press.
Yeah.
They were asking, like, who's on the album? He's like, them Griselda boys.
Yeah.
Did you do that with him? Or no? You sent it in?
He was there at the studio. No, we flew.
We're talking DMX, by the way.
Yeah, the DMX record. We recorded it in Atlanta. And he was there, but I think I got in late or I didn't get there on time. He was sick or something. But they said he was there, but he went home.
I mean, it might have been that, right?
But when we got there, he wasn't.
When he got there, you weren't. He wasn't there anymore.
That's what I was saying. Like, when I got there, was there, but he was there, but he dipped before we got there.
So did you hear what he did? Did you already hear?
Everybody was there when we flew in and got to the studio, like Wes, Benny, everybody was there.
Got it.
Yeah, we all did our verse right there with D and Y and them, and you know what I'm saying?
Wow. Oh, D and Y was there.
Yeah, I don't think Y was there, but he was there. Yeah.
Bro, but how crazy is that? Like, for you, you've had to have had DMX records.
At T.I. studio, too, matter of fact. T.I. was there, too.
You got the full cosign from Mobb Deep when you guys did the New York show. I remember, I don't know if you remember this. You came to the radio station the next morning. I don't know if you remember that. Y'all came into, we did an interview the next day and you guys were just like high off of that New York show when everyone came out. I think the Locks came out.
Yeah.
Mobb Deep came out. Yeah. It was sort of, would you describe that? That day was sort of like a coronation. Like people really came out to like show this is.
It was at Webster Hall.
Webster Hall.
Wow.
It was our first tour and it was the first stop on that tour. It was here, Webster Hall, and Prodigy came out, Mobb Deep, Locks came out, Raekwon came out.
Oh yeah, Raekwon too, right.
This is a dream. You know, this is a dream come true.
Just got the mic. Yo, these two niggas. Like kind of like, I'm passing the torch to these niggas.
Who said that?
Raekwon.
Raekwon.
Like, wow. Stop the music and shit and just went on this rant.
Ain't nothing like a Raekwon rant.
Out of all the stuff I did, like when you was asking me earlier, like, you know, all the features and all the artists I worked with and all the stuff that I did, being on the ranch with Ye and that moment on the stage with Hov and all that, like, that's up there. But that show right there at Webster Hall, because it really felt like a defining moment for us, man. We've been grinding and chasing this shit for, you know, years and years and years, man. And these guys that was, you know, hanging on our wall on posters like Jordan and guys we idolized and looked up to and wanted to be like and wanted to, and nothing more than even get respected by dudes like this. And to get that in New York City, one of the toughest cities to get kind of crowd love and get that salute. Especially as being like the next guys, like even Jada and them stopped the music and said the same, like, oh, we gotta hold on, man. What Griselda is doing, yo, man, she look like Eric. It was like, bro, that moment right there to me sit at the top of the hill.
And was there how do I say this?
Oh, here we go.
Were there any girls at that show?
If they was, they was with their boyfriend that they bought the tickets for in the first place. My boyfriend's a super fan.
I can see like a bartender like, there's a lot of niggas here.
Yo, it could get scary. It could get like, yo, wait a minute. Like, it's been all our shows been like me like that. Never mind the 200 motherfuckers on stage. The crowd is nothing but hard legs. Like,
oh, let me ask you a question.
No female estrogen in a building at all.
You don't even have one R&B feature.
That's what type is.
You don't got even the Locks and Mobb Deep. Wu Tang had Jodeci, Mary records. Like,
we don't have
have no little joint.
No, you do.
You know,
Con, you're on one. What's the R&B record? There's a dope R&B record featuring you. Like,
shit. No, I got shit.
There's just a couple joints.
Oh, the shit with Mary. I forgot.
Wait, there's a Mary joint?
On a Mary album?
I call Grammy nominee off that old Mary J. He popped my collar, man. That old Mary J, man.
Yeah, come on now.
Are you popping your collar?
Yeah.
That's how I do.
Now, Syph, can you imagine? Right. Syph, can you imagine what it's like when you guys have to deal with the list? Chad, I imagine your job when you guys have to do with a Buffalo show. How do you even deal with, like, is it fun to do a Buffalo show or is it just a nightmare, honestly?
All my shows is a nightmare.
Yeah, all of them.
Especially
all of
Buffalo.
Them.
Like, just I can already anticipate, you know what I mean, 200 people at the back door, on stage, in the green room. I already anticipate nowhere for my mama to sit.
Right.
Nowhere for my girl, man.
You might as well fly your mom out to a random place to catch you in Houston.
Yeah.
How many, when you do a show in Buffalo, and this is how we know how real you are.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
We do this all the time in New York with Wu, Dip, Locks, anything like that.
Yeah.
How many wheelchair niggas come to your show with you that you know, not in the crowd, that you know? How many wheelchairs y'all got? How many? Six?
Yeah, not that many.
Six is a lot.
Six is a lot.
Come on.
Three. Definitely three.
Just make sure there's access.
Bro, if you ever see a show where it's like...
A couple wheelchair.
If you ever see a show like Dipset and Locks at the Apollo, get the ramp. Get the ramp.
Not get the ramp.
Get the ramp. Load the ramp up. They coming up. Yo, man, it's an honor and a pleasure, bro. Listen, the reason why we pay money, this is his girl's ex-apartment. She was about to give this up. We said, nah, let's keep this. Let's put some bread into this. Yeah. The reason why we have this spot is for nights like this, for you to come here and talk to us, man. We really appreciate that.
No doubt, man. I had a good ass time. Because
this is this is what we want to do. Talk this real shit.
Yeah, we don't have any. That's why before the thing, when you're like, you were joking around, you're like, oh, y'all about to ask the hard questions. And I was like, nope. No. That's precisely what we don't want to do. We want people to feel comfortable.
Yep.
Have a good time. And like, I got to tell you, Khan, man, I was thinking about it again earlier today. Yeah. The personal growth I've seen from you. I remember the first time he showed up for an interview. First couple times he barely talked in our interviews. Like, right. Gunn was doing the talking.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had barely met Conway. Yeah, and I looked over at Conway and he's sitting there looking gangster as fuck. I was like, all right, this is the real one right here. And now you fast forward all these years later, man, you've really found your voice, not just on you already had your voice on record, but now you found it in media and stuff also, which is another layer to the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, he's been validated. He's been anointed, man.
No, I might put my voice in the media game, man. I might fuck around, man. You know,
another podcast.
Yeah, yeah, great. Man. More competition for us.
Yeah.
Can we be on your podcast?
I just want to be the third host on your show.
Oh, yo, listen. Anytime you're bored and you just want to sit in while we talk to other rappers.
Yeah.
See, because we might talk to one of your heroes. Yeah. Like, we might have one of your heroes sitting here and you could just be in here to chime in and ask questions.
Exactly. No bullshit. Yeah. Nori did our show many a time and he was like, how do y'all do this?
Yeah, that is true.
Figured it out. And surpassed, the student surpassed the master. Yeah. He always shows love, though. Yeah. Nori always shows love, but.
Word, man. This shit's dope, man.
So by the time
I'm going to tell you where I first met. Can I tell you real quick?
Yeah, please.
They got me in trouble, actually.
Oh.
I was hosting a Comedy Cellar on McDougal Street.
Mm-hmm.
And in between when I'm hosting, I come outside. It was summertime. I come outside. I see Bronson with his shirt off.
Uh-oh.
I see Bronson with his shirt off.
Funny story.
And then they was at Mahmoud's, which is the falafel spot right next to the
beautiful falafels.
And I come up and there's like
Mediterranean wraps and that type of shit.
Mahmoud's is the spot.
I've been looking for that since that day.
He's been looking for it since.
I don't know. Okay, where is that?
It's on McDougal Street. McDougal Street. Remember in the village.
McDougal, Mahmoud's.
Yeah.
Bro, this shit's so fire, cellar. Bro. It's and right that whole door. Block is a vibe.
Yeah. No, that block is a vibe.
College, bar, vibe. Vibes, food. I come out, it's him, Wes, and had to be minimum 12 goons.
Mm-hmm.
And I come upstairs, and the owner was there. He don't be there that much. The owner of the Comedy Cellar. And there's all white tourists in the Comedy Cellar. They don't know who I am.
Yeah.
I'm just another comedian.
Yeah.
And then I go outside and just 15 niggas just start showing me mad love. Like goons. And the owner was like, the owner goes, what's going on here?
You're like, well, that's Buffalo.
Whoa, that was crazy that night.
Because there was Bronson before he lost all the weight and got muscular. It was like, you know, that Bronson. Before pandemic, because now there's like all those outdoor seating things.
Yeah.
That's did a show. I want to say at Webster Hall, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it might have been.
The same time or a different one?
Yeah, no, I don't think.
That same time. Was that night? I can tell the story a little more funnier.
Okay, please, tell us.
So, we leave. We at the show with Action. That's why he was there. We with AB.
Right.
He put us on to the spot, my mom.
Yeah, well, he's a foodie.
Yeah, it's a spot.
Right, so, after the show, of course, if you ever been to an Action Bronson show, any of y'all, just expect utter chaos. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, he's breaking instruments and shit.
Walking out in the crowd, leaving, rapping from the bathroom.
Tearing shirt off like yeah. Hulk Hogan.
I saw him do a TV so out like, once.
He's so good wet and don't even have a shirt anymore. And he's, you know, we upstairs, his mom there and everything. Like, hey, let's go eat. I know a spot around the corner. And this nigga just walked up the block with no shirt or nothing though, which is the craziest shit to me. It's good. Like, it's so, gross. So we get to Mamon's, we order out, we eat, and you know, Mamon's like one of the spots where we just eat. We park the truck.
There's no right way. It's there. Just a. It's just like a
we
counter.
Just eating outside on a hood of somebody's truck or something.
Right.
We deep out there, and we see Dave Chappelle and Syfe walk up. And Dave Chappelle knows that, like. But of course, he looking at act like, who's this fat ass? He hug and shit. Like, yo, that shit just like, I could tell that shit took Dave. Like, yo, this dude funny as hell.
Oh, no, yo, Bronson Just Syfe, we're so, do you know Bronson just had a residency? You probably knew. I didn't even know about that.
Where?
He was at LPR. He was at La Poisson Rouge for like a couple weeks. 6 weeks?
How do you not tell us that? That's how you knew.
Billy, why would we know?
We don't know anything. Yeah, we tell you every week, tell us shit.
All the random shit. So he'll tell
I would have went to that.
I know, and we could have had him up here to talk about it. I mean, he sold out every night anyway.
I'll be hating that when I find out about shit way after. Why the fuck you ain't tell me it? I would have pulled up.
Listen, go stream the Conway album everywhere. Stream all of it. Go check out the Jay-Z.
If I see you, I'm going to check your phone. If it ain't downloaded any of your shit, I'm going to throw your cell phone 2 blocks away.
Yeah.
Download my shit, stream it, get your girlfriend devices, put it on hers, get the kids' computers, get their iPads, get everybody, just download somebody's it on phone. every device.
You snap somebody's phone, you're like, yo, why my album ain't here? You throw it 2 blocks. That's my work phone! Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Word. You better hope you got it saved in your iCloud, nigga. Get the fuck out of here.
Yo, Con, thank you, bro.
Yo, man, thank
wait,
you.
Wait, wait. Last thing, I promise.
Okay.
Like, we did the East Coast, did the West Coast. Favorite top 5 90s sitcoms. What you was watching on the TV, because that's where we going with that era.
That's a good one. That's a 90s
sitcoms, okay.
Is In Living Color a sitcom?
Sure.
No, but it's a comedy from the 90s, yeah. So yeah. Fuck it.
Can I go with that?
Yeah, sure.
Living Color.
Living Color.
By the way, your boy just stepped in here to make sure you get this right.
Yeah. And they can't all
you get this wrong.
They can't all be black shows. You can't just name the black shows.
No, of course you know.
So Martin and Living Color.
Throw Married with Children in there. We had cable, bro. You know what I'm saying? So that was one of the shows we could get. Married with Children.
Married with Children is fire.
Channel 5, baby.
Steve Harvey joint Martin. Living Color in Different World, man.
Different World, too.
It was crazy.
Late 80s, early 90s.
Fresh Prince. Then that's my fifth, right? Did I say 4 or 5?
Yeah, you did 6, but it's all good. All
right, who's counting?
Top 5 is just to get it started.
Let me Fresh Prince over that Steve Harvey shit.
No white shows? You don't
just
got,
Married with Children.
Yeah, you don't got Growing Pains?
Nah.
That's 80s, bro.
I was jacking that.
Yeah, 80s, 90s, whatever.
You know what? I was jacking Full House.
Yeah, come on, you got
to. Know what I'm saying?
Full House. Everybody loves Full House.
Full House.
I mean, Full House and Family Matters were back to back.
Bro, let me tell you something.
That shit screeching them niggas was on?
Saved by the Bell. Screeching them niggas is never a sentence ever said, ever. Screeching them niggas. And
by the way, it is a sentence that's been said before. if they do a reboot of the show, we have the new name for Saved by the Bell.
Yo, man. Con, thanks, God.
Lock Voorhees and all that. Yeah, that joint.
Chad, thank you, bro.
Yo, Chad, thank you.
Shouts to the whole drum work music. Check that Jay Ski's album as well and everything
Chad,
drum
please,
work.
That abolishes uncertainties. Listen to me, man.
Yo, you got
to
come.
Hip-hop and you love
you gotta come do an
real
episode.
Raw lyricism and real stories that mean something that's impactful. That Abolished Uncertainties is one of the most impactful albums that we're going to hear in the next 5 years. I'm telling you.
And by the way, 1UP listeners.
Y'all going to see what I'm saying.
And I'm telling you, 1UP listeners, this is not a dope artist who put on his whack bro who he's like pushing. You're going to love the Jay Ski's project. Like, this is some real hip-hop shit. Thank you, guys.
Know what it is. No question, man. Love.